I'd like for us to begin by looking back to the nation of Israel. And I want you to use your imagination for just a few moments. And I want you to picture yourself as part of that nation. All you've ever known is captivity and slavery in Egypt. All you've known is the oppression of the Egyptians. But Moses comes on the scene. And God, through Moses, does these wonderful, magnificent, and yet at the same time horrifying plagues upon the nation of Egypt. And so Pharaoh says, go, get out, leave. And you, with your family and with all of your nation, you leave Egypt. And you start on the way, the long, hot desert way to Mount Sinai. But you left rather abruptly. And so you didn't really take that much food with you. And as I mentioned, it's hot. It's desert. And so you and your family and the nation itself begins to grumble against Moses and Aaron. And you say, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. But despite your lack of faith, God doesn't give up on you. He brought you out into the wilderness not to kill you, but to love you, but to care for you. And He wants you to see His compassion, His grace. He wants you to see that He's slow to anger and full of loving kindness and truth. And so God answers your cry for food by raining down bread from heaven. In Exodus 16 and verse 4, it says, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. The house of Israel, in verse 31, named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Now, I want you to imagine yourself as that nation of Israel on the first day when you went out and you gathered up that manna. Can you picture yourself putting that manna into your mouth? What did it taste like? The Bible tells us that it was some form of a wafer, and it tastes a wafer with honey. But think about this. This is God's bread that He made for you. It had to have tasted pretty well, pretty good. You have that for over 40 years. God takes care of you. You don't have to worry about food. God provides it. And as the promised land is now in sight, Moses is reminding you of what God has done, of the wonders that God has done over these 40 years. And what he shows is that the manna was intended as a lesson to teach about the very nature of God. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, there it says, He, speaking of God, humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You see, there's a lie that all men try to believe. And that is, if I have everything I need physically, I'm good. We see that today. Well, if I can have this kind of house, I'll be good. If I can drive this kind of car, whoo, I'll be good. If I can have a retirement plan that sets me up, I am good. But the reality is, we're never going to be satisfied with the physical things. There's always going to be something more that we want, and we're made that way. God's put within us a craving for something not physical, but spiritual. And that manna represented not just bread, but it was intended to bring God's people to a fuller understanding of the relationship with Him. God became that direct source of His people's physical nourishment so that He could be and have them understand that He was the source of their spiritual nourishment. That they would understand that true life, truly living, is only when our souls are spiritually satisfied in God. Now take what you have in your mind from the Old Testament, and let's fast forward then to the New Testament. And let's look at the bread of heaven. When we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus Himself, He lived that very idea. He lived that God was His nourishment. The Father was His nourishment. In a parallel to Israel's wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, we see that Jesus is in the wilderness and He's fasting for 40 days. And Satan comes. And Satan comes and he says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Jesus gained His spiritual nourishment from the Father. And I would imagine that He fought back intense hunger pains and said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, a quote from what we've already read in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He had just spent 40 days praying, meditating, communing with His Father. His spirit was satisfied. It was full. And He had control. The spiritual had control over the physical. He was dependent upon His Father rather than what He could do for Himself. He could have turned that bread into those stones into bread. But He said, "I'm not going to depend upon myself. I'm going to depend upon my Father. He's the one who fills me up." He taught that very idea. He taught that in the coming kingdom, true hunger would be satisfied. And at the very heart of that provision would be Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." He rebuked the multitude for following Him just for the physical. In John chapter 6, Jesus does this grand miracle. There are over 5,000 men, women, and children there with Him. And He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He feeds everybody. I mean, just think about it. If we had 5 loaves and 2 fish today, we couldn't feed everybody here. But Jesus fed over 5,000. And as is typical in our human nature, we get locked in on the physical. And so the multitude started following Him for the physical. Turn with me, if you will, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus is trying to get these people to understand that it's about the spiritual, to depend upon God. And in verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. He says, it's not about the physical. Yes, I gave you that food. I had compassion on you because you didn't have anything. But it's not about the physical. So the people then respond. They say, well, give us a sign and we'll believe in you. They say in there in verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So now they make this comparison. They say, okay, Jesus, will you give us a sign? Yeah, we know that you fed over 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish. But our father Moses, he fed us with manna for over 40 years. Can you do that? And then we'll believe in you. Notice what Jesus says. He turns their argument from the physical to the spiritual. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread, or given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. You see, God gave the manna. It wasn't Moses who gave the manna. But what God gave is, he says, what I gave you was a type of what was to come. What you really need to focus on is the bread of heaven. The bread of life. The one that truly gives life. That just as bread sustains us physically, so Jesus, by his death, gives us eternal life. You see, he gave that to us. On the cross, he gave himself so that we could live. Jesus says in John 6 and verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is trying to get them to see the connection that has been there all along. That true bread, that which we take in, is Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his body to be beaten and torn. He gave his life so that we might be freed from sin. So that we might be freed from that eternal death that came as a result of our choices. He took that penalty upon himself so that we could have a relationship with God. As we saw last week, we are designed for relationships. That's what we're made for. God says, I want to have a relationship with you. And the only way that it is possible is if the bread of life dies for you. And it is in that relationship where we find true nourishment. We're not going to be satisfied with a 401k or a grand house or a fast car. Those things come and go. But the relationship with God lasts forever. And so he says, I want you to remember me. He could have said, I want you to go to this monument that I have constructed. Or I want you to have this type of memorial. But here's what he says. I want you to remember me by eating bread. Bread represents his body. The cup represents His blood. And what we show when we take of that is that we have a desire from our Father to be spiritually nourished. That we proclaim that there is something deeper and more fulfilling than anything physical, anything more, much more than mere food and drink. We proclaim that we are learning. We're not there yet, but we're learning that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So I have a question for you for this morning. What does the bread taste like to you? And I don't mean now the physical bread that we're about to partake. I mean the spiritual bread. You see, David says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Again in Psalm 119 and verse 103, it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Is Jesus sweet to you? Are you finding true nourishment in the bread of heaven, the bread of life? Let us draw in our relationships this morning, draw closer to the very one who gave up heaven so that we could be spiritually nourished for all eternity. Let us do that as we eat this morning.